First of all, let me say to all of you that are here tonight, I certainly do appreciate and love every one of you for coming to hear the gospel proclaimed.
Amen.
I realize that this has gone by so very quickly. I know that all of you are as aware of this as I am, that time passes by so very quickly. And just seems as when you get started, you're already finishing. And the older I get, the quicker it goes by, seemingly. And I see a lot of you shaking your head, and you agree with me on that. Now, I had promised you that if you would come tonight, you would hear a different tone, a different mannerism, and a different lesson altogether from the lessons that I have presented so far this week. I hope and pray that those lessons that I have presented thus far have been beneficial and encouraging and strengthening to all of you that have come all this week. I know that we've had three responses to the invitation of the gospel, and I appreciate so much, young fellows and young lady, for all of y'all that have been very supportive in coming all the week long. We read in the Bible, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I believe with all of my heart, if we study our Bibles hard enough and long enough, we will see that Jesus really and truly believed that statement. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Whenever you look at what the Lord hath given us, He hath given us a great number of gifts that sometimes we just automatically take for granted. My granddaddy taught me when I was a very young boy, he said to me, he said, "Son, if you really and truly want someone to remember you and remember you for a long time," he said, "figure out something to give them." And he said, "If you will give them a gift, matters not what it is, matters not what it cost," he said, "just give them a gift." And he said, "most of the time, those people will remember you forevermore." Now, Sister Henry, I want you not to forget me, because I will not forget you. I've met a lot of people this week, some I have not known before, and I appreciate so much. But I want tonight to share with you the gifts from God. And maybe by the time I'm finished, you will see that the Lord really and truly, when that statement was put there, the inspiration of the writer, and he said, "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive," we will find that Jesus really and truly meant that statement. Let's begin tonight in the book of Psalms, in chapter 34 and verse 10, as the psalmist David would proclaim that there is a tremendous benefit to all of us who seek the Lord. Now, first of all, let me tell you, as we seek the Lord, that means we're going to put forth an effort to worship God. That means that sometimes we're going to set aside the things that might hinder us, and we're going to make some form of a self-sacrifice, and we're going to worship the Lord. Now, think for a moment. If we're seeking the Lord, that means that we're going to really and truly look for Him. A lot of people are not looking for the Lord. We realize that from the standpoint that people are not reading their Bible, they're not praying, they're not singing, they're not even attending the worship service. They're not looking for the Lord in any way. But tonight, as we seek the Lord, there's a gift in that. There's great benefit in that. For the psalmist said, "But they that seek the Lord shall not want." Now listen to this. "They that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing." And I don't know about you, but my wants sometimes are incredible. Is yours not? I wonder how many of us in this room, have we not wanted a great many things in life along the way? You know, good things. Somebody said, "Well, what's good things, preacher?" I believe every good thing and every good gift, according to James, comes down from above. The Lord Jesus presents us with those things. And the psalmist said, if we will seek after the Lord, we will not have a want for any good thing, for the Lord will supply and give us those good things. Have you ever considered what the Lord might have given you? How many of you parents have looked around and looked at those children and really and truly understood a good thing in life? The Lord hath given you a good thing. How many of you have a job to work on that supports your family? How many of us could understand that that's a good thing? And I believe the Lord is involved in the giving of good things. How many of us have rode to the services of the Lord's church tonight in a comfortable automobile somewhat? And if we've done that, even that, in a materialistic way, a good thing that comes from God. You're going to find tonight, by the time I'm finished, and I have about 30-some-odd verses of Scripture that I want to go through with you tonight, that if we do seek the Lord, if we watch out for the Lord and we search for Him, and we seek the Lord, He will grant us with good things in our life. I have told many a young person, if you want good things in your life, you put God in your life and you keep Him there and you put Him first in your life. I will tell all of you that may very well consider yourself not as a young person, if you really and truly want good things in your life and you want the good life, and you know there are a lot of people that believe in the good life. If you want the good life, then you put the Lord in your life. Amen. You seek after the Lord, and He will provide. According to the Scripture, He will start out by giving you those things that are considered to be good things. And sometimes we take those things for granted. How many people complain about their job, and they complain, and they complain, and they complain until one day they don't have one? And I will tell you, then and there you realize what a good job you really had whenever you're missing that job. Sometimes we complain a lot about a lot of things, but whenever those things are not with us anymore, we realize that really and truly was a good thing. So this point number one, put it in your mind and think about it as I go through all of the points with you tonight. Seek the Lord, put Him first in your life, and the Bible said, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. Now let us consider another passage in the book of Psalms, and I'll get you to the New Testament here in just a few minutes. But in Psalm 68 and at verse 35, the psalmist would also tell us that the God of Israel is He that... Let me ask you this question before I finish that verse. I wonder how many of us ever in our lives have needed a little more than what we really had in the way of strength. Anybody ever needed a little more strength in their life? You know, I've been there sometimes whenever it seems as if I needed just a little more. I needed a little boost. I needed a little more stamina. I needed a little more strength in my life to be able to accomplish those things that I had in mind in the way of a goal. If you've ever needed strength, if you've ever needed power, the Bible said the God of Israel is He that giveth strength and power unto His people. I want you to underscore and think for a moment as we're talking about the gifts of God. He says here, unto His people. If you want strength and you want power in your life to be able to accomplish and do those things and accomplish your goals that you set forth in your life, then be His people. In order to be the Lord's people, you're going to have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to obey that plan of salvation that we find in the Bible. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We understand that old powerful plan of salvation to be the five steps. To hear and believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And the Lord will add you to the church. And not only that, He will add you to His family. And in adding you to His family, listen to the verse. He said, for this God of Israel is the one that giveth strength and power unto His people. I want to be in the Lord's family so that I might be able to have that strength and power as a gift that will come from God. And I will tell you, young people, as you grow older, you will find someday that you will need a great deal more strength in your life, a great deal more power in your life to be able to accomplish those good things that I hope that you will set as goals in your life. Now, after we have learned of the strength and power that will come to His people, there's something else that the Lord does in the way of giving. If it's more blessed to give than to receive, the Bible will tell us also in the book of Psalms in chapter 84 and at verse 11. And the Bible said, no good thing, not one good thing, no good thing will He withhold from them. Now listen closely to this one. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, I want you to underscore in the lesson tonight, walking uprightly. Do you know what that means? That means doing the will of God. That means those things pleasing in the sight of God. If you're going to walk uprightly, that means that you're going to make the right kind of a choice. You're going to do the thing that's most pleasing to that of God. There are a lot of people, y'all, that's walking, but they're not walking uprightly. There are a lot of people out there that's walking unrighteously. There are a lot of people out there that are out in the world and they have no regard for God. They're not walking uprightly. So you see, these gifts, they're on condition sometimes. Even whenever you consider there that He said He'll not withhold any good thing from you, but you must walk uprightly to be the recipient of that good thing. And fellas, and girls, and boys, what happens here is that the Lord is giving us a condition. He wants us to be pleasing in His sight in the things that we do. Let our lives be that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be that we live in such a way that no one can point the finger and make an accusation and make it stick when it comes to that of sin and degradation as far as the Lord is concerned. Now, a lot of people really and truly have said, I don't really care what people think. But I will tell you, you need to always care what people think. If they can look at your life, let it be that if they tell something bad about your life, that they're telling a fib. Or if you really and truly want to understand what that is, it's a lie. Let it be that if they look at your life and they make an accusation against you, that accusation is not true, really and truly, but a lie. And so whenever you think about this good thing that the Lord will not withhold from anyone, it's those that walk uprightly. And I want to leave you with that tonight so that you might understand. The Lord will bless you if you will walk uprightly and do the things that's pleasing in His sight. But I will show you in just a few moments. The Lord will give out a lot of good things, but He will also give out something else. And that's something we're going to close with tonight. And I want you to understand, the Lord is not prejudiced from the standpoint that if you do something good and you walk uprightly, He will bless you. But if you're not intending on walking uprightly and you live a hellacious life in this world, in descriptive terms, if you live for Satan, the Lord will also give you something. And I want to show that to you as well. So tonight in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and at verse 26 in our point number 4, the Bible said, for God giveth to a man that is good in His sight. Now listen to what the Lord is going to give to a man that's good in His sight. Now not only does He expect us to walk uprightly, but He expects us to be good in His sight. Now there are a great many people out here in the world that have forgotten that the Lord has eyes to see. Have you ever thought about some of the things that people do? If really and truly they were doing those things in perspective of the fact that they understood that the Lord could see them as they do that thing, would not they be ashamed of some of the things that they do in this world? I think people ought to sometimes be ashamed of some of the things they do. I see sometimes when people cloud their minds with certain things and they afflict their bodies with things that really and truly are killing them at an early age, and I wonder sometimes about some of the things that people do in private whenever they think no one in the world is looking or seeing them, whenever we well know what does the Lord see but all things. So whenever you consider this business of the gifts of God, He said, for God giveth to a man that is good in His sight. First of all, He says wisdom and knowledge and joy. I would want you to be the smartest people upon the face of the earth when it comes down to understanding God's instructions. God will give you wisdom. He will give you knowledge. He will give you the ability to gain wisdom and the ability to gain knowledge. He will also give you joy. But if we go back to what the Bible is going to teach us in this Old Testament passage, He said it's going to be that person that's good in His sight that will receive these gifts of wisdom and knowledge and joy. But He also says, not only will He give wisdom and knowledge and joy to the person that's good in His sight, but I want you to listen to something else. But to the sinner, He said, the Lord will also give travail to gather and to heap up, that He may give to him that is good before God. You know what that means? The Lord's going to give travail. That's trouble. That's problems. That's consequences of wrongdoing. People have said to me sometimes along the way, preacher, you're misguided in what you believe in the teaching of the Bible when it comes down to what God will do to people on the face of this earth. Because God doesn't worry or bother with people on the face of the earth. He holds that for judgment. But I am of the contrary in that. I believe that the Lord will punish some of those things that we do while we live on this earth, and I believe that there's travail, and I believe there's trouble, and I believe there's consequences in wrongdoing. I have watched many a time in my life when people have destroyed their life on this earth with wrongdoing, and I've wondered sometimes, you can't do wrong and get by. And if really and truly you study your Bible, you'll come to that same conclusion, for the Lord Himself is displeased with those that sin and do wrong in His sight. And so whenever we're talking about those that are going to receive wisdom and knowledge and joy, he's talking about the ones that are good in his sight. But whenever he talks about trouble and travail, we're talking about the ones that are not good in his sight, those that are displeasing in his sight. And I will tell you some of the things that people do. Some of the things that people do. I've listened to some of the highest authoritative figures in our land have cussed openly with evil communication before all of America. I've watched as some of those frivolous and ignorant leaders that we have in Washington, D.C. will proclaim that this beer is just as good as the other beer, or that this alcohol is just as good as something else out here. What in the world are we thinking about when it comes down to the example that we need to put before the people? If I were going to be the leader of this great nation that people fought and died for and give extensive life for freedom and happiness and joy and understanding, I would be that person that would live godly before all mankind, because that's what the Lord intended for us to do. And for that reason, I disagree with those people that live ungodly in the sight of God and in the sight of all mankind, that they're openly doing those things displeasing in the sight of God. So now when we go back to the verse of Scripture, "For God giveth to the man that is good in his sight, he will give him wisdom, he will give him knowledge, and he will give him joy. But to the sinner and the one that has disregard for him, he will give him trouble." And lots of it. Let us consider Daniel chapter 2 and at verse 21. I'm going to do my best tonight to get you out on time, but I have a lot of stuff for you that I believe will build us up and to strengthen us in our understanding of the gifts that God gives us while we're here on this earth. In Daniel 2 and verse 21, the Bible said he will give wisdom. "He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." There are a great many people that I believe that are wise, but I will tell you, those that are wise are people that make good decisions. It was Thomas Jefferson that stood in the midst of the others there, that whenever they was drawing the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights, and it was Thomas Jefferson that stood up before those people and had the Bible in his hand, and he said, "We have within the pages of this old book every single thing that we need to govern this great nation. We need nothing more than to follow the teachings of God, and we will govern a great nation." If we had stayed with that and kept with that, this nation would not be in the hectic trouble that we're in right now at this day and time. Whenever you think about what the Bible teaches, he said he will give wisdom unto the wise. I don't believe God will give many of the people that are guiding us today much wisdom, for they are not wise. I don't believe they'll receive much knowledge from God, because they have a total disregard for God. We cannot take our Bibles into certain places, we cannot pray in certain places, and we cannot proclaim God the way that we should before all mankind. Whenever you think about this, he said, "The knowledge to them that know understanding." Do you understand what he's saying here? Those that know understanding. We're supposed to study the Word of God so that we'll be able to rightly divide it. And if we're not able to study it, to rightly divide it, we'll never be able to understand it. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." He said, rightly dividing the Word of God. There are a lot of people that don't know anything at all about the Bible. There's no understanding there. In order for us to gain this gift of wisdom and knowledge that will come from God, think about it, we're going to have to study the Bible and gain understanding, and then we'll receive knowledge, and then we'll receive wisdom. He's just not going to put it there and stick it like a piece of bubble gum into our brain. It will not work that way. We're going to have to gain understanding to receive knowledge and wisdom. And the only way I know that you will gain understanding is to take your Bibles and study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Whenever you think about these great gifts, let's go to the New Testament now just for a few minutes. And let's talk about some of the things that he says that the Lord hath given us that will strictly come from the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 11 and at verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." I want you to underscore in your mind tonight and think about the fact that he says, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden." There are not a lot of people out there that's doing a lot of laboring, and not a lot of people out there that are heavy laden with the work of the church. But he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, if you will come unto me, I will give you rest. The Lord will not make it so very hard upon us if we work diligently within the kingdom that we cannot receive rest for our labor. Now, some people say, I beg to differ with you, preacher, for you can literally work yourself to death. Let me tell you what I think about that word work. The Bible said, if a man will not work, then neither shall he eat. I believe with all of my heart, if you'll look at some of the older people, and whenever I say older people, I'm talking about those that have lived a long life on this earth, you will look into their lives in such a way that you will see that they never quit working. You know, whenever I think about those that work extensively, those that may have retired, I think about my old daddy who did not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he was one of the workingest fellows I ever knew. He got up early and he worked late. And then whenever I think about my wife's dad, my father-in-law, he got up early and he worked till late. And it didn't matter how old he got up early and he worked late. And what killed him was loading a whole load of cows, me and my son and he fell and hit his head. He would have still been working to this day had that not happened to him. People that quit work and just opt out of work, have you ever noticed what happens to them? When people go home and sit on the porch in the rocking chair after they've worked a long life and they go home and they sit down, they don't live very long. You know, but those that stay diligently in the work of the Lord's church, and those that are willing to get out and knock doors, and those that are willing to get out and invite people, and those that are willing to work in the church, and those that are willing to participate in anything that's good, they live long lives. For you see, I believe with all of my heart, when he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, he's talking about those that are willing to work in the kingdom, and those that put forth a willing effort to do those things that are pleasing in the sight of God. I will tell you, many a time I've been discouraged in my lifetime with people in their work in the church. Whenever you ask for a volunteer to do something in the church, whenever you say, we're going to need someone this weekend to do so-and-so, we need a volunteer. A lot of times people will turn their head and walk right out that door, not willing to sacrifice in any way when it comes down to the work in the kingdom. But I will tell you, he's talking about giving someone rest that will labor, and that person that has become heavy laden because of all of their labors. And he said, I will make sure that you have ample time to rest if you do those things in the kingdom of the Lord. Have you ever thought about some of the missionaries sometimes and some of the disgusting places that they're in as far as people is concerned? We had the opportunity the other day to learn that one of our Indian missionaries that we've been supporting for quite some time now was macheted to death in the northern part of India, and we lost one of them. He was there on the bicycle that the Lord's church bought him, riding that bicycle to a distant, faraway place to preach and to teach the gospel. And some of those people along the road decided that he might have a few dollars, so they robbed him and macheted him to death with a machete. You ever thought about some of the things that goes on in our society today? But the Bible is going to tell us that the Lord will make sure that we have ample time for rest in our lives if we labor. And even if we become heavy laden, he said, I will give you rest if you will come unto me. Let us consider the Bible in John chapter 16 and at verse 23. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever, he said, you shall ask and the Father, ask of the Father in my name that he will give it to you. There's a condition there. There are a lot of times that people want things, but they're not willing to ask for it. There are a lot of times that people would have God to believe that I need this, but they will not be willing to ask. And a lot of times people really and truly don't know how to ask God for it. And this is a clarification of how it is that if we really and truly want the gifts that the Lord has set in store for all of us who are members of the Lord's church and those of us who are a member of His family, He said, whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name. It's in the name of Jesus that we're supposed to ask for those things of the Father God. There are a lot of people that don't understand that. There are a lot of people who don't understand how to ask God for something. And I'll tell you something else. There's a lot of people out there that are so impatient with God. that they'll pray one time and ask God for something, and then they'll walk away and say, well, the Lord, He didn't do anything for me. He didn't give me that. I prayed diligent for this, and I prayed diligent for that. They may have only prayed one time. We're taught in the Bible to pray without ceasing. We're taught in the Bible to continually ask God. And I will tell you, I've prayed many a prayer over and over and over and over again. I wonder if that's ever been with you. You ever prayed a prayer more than one time? Really and truly, when you knew that you needed God to hear and you needed God to heed that prayer and answer that prayer according to His will in the name of Jesus, you're asking and you pray and you pray and you pray. We may not get the answer that we were hoping for, but I will assure you that if we continue on praying without ceasing, the Lord will answer in one way or another. Whenever you think about the gifts from God, and ever you think about what He said here, if you really and truly want the gift of God, you're going to have to ask for it in the proper fashion. It's going to be in the name of Jesus that you ask God for those favors and those blessings. I remember one time, and I was flabbergasted with this. A man was asking, used to, before things got out of whack down there in Alabama, we could pray in our schools. And many a time at a football game, people would come and ask me to come up and lead a prayer before a football game. Well, it wasn't too long until we had some organization called the ACLU that came along, and they proclaimed that we could not no longer pray on the school ground aloud in front of anybody. Now, they had a hard time teaching me that, but still, it was a situation there that we had to stop praying. But I remember one time as they asked a man to come up and lead the prayer, and he began his prayer with Old Great Mother Mary, and I knew exactly that this poor fella had no idea as to what the Bible taught about prayer. He had nothing in the world in the way of wisdom and knowledge about what the Bible was going to teach him about in the name of Jesus. God would answer those prayers. He had no earthly idea. That was a shocking thing to me, but I've never forgot that thing. For this man, I wrote him a letter and tried to explain to him, and he wrote me a letter back, and he said the Mother Mary is equal to that of Jesus. And we well know that God does not look at things that way. This is my beloved Son, he said, in whom I am well pleased. He said, hear ye him. And so Jesus has been elevated to the extent that no one is equal to that of Jesus in the kingdom of God. So consider, if you will, if we really and truly want what the Lord has for us in the way of a gift, we're going to have to learn how to ask for it, and ask for it more than one time if you really want it. Let us consider that there's another passage in Romans 6 and verse 23. He said, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We well know what sin will do for us. The wages, how do we get paid? We experience death. What kind of a death? The separation from God. Sin will separate us from God. It always has. It always will. Those wages, the consequences, is the separation from God. But after he said the wages of sin is death, he said the gift of God then, he said, is eternal life. And it comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Have you ever considered the gift of eternal life? I don't know about you, but I've tried my best to comprehend as best I know how eternity. I've heard it explained to me in many different ways how to look at eternity. My mind has never been to the point where I really and truly felt that I understood forever and ever and ever and ever. I've heard people talk about all of the grains of sand on all of the beaches in the world and counting each and every one of them if it were a possibility, and then that would be the only beginning of eternity. I've heard a lot of people talk about the world and how big it is and the universe and how big it is, but I will tell you, eternity, as best I can figure it, is forever and ever and ever, never stopping. Whenever you consider the oldest person we've ever known, the oldest person we may have ever come in contact with, they may have exceeded 100 years, and 100 years is just a glitch in eternity. Whenever you think about how old our nation is and how old our country is, it's just a glitch in that of eternity. Whenever you think about how old the world is, it's just a glitch in that of eternity. Much controversy in what they say about the animals that lived here before and how old the world really is, but it wouldn't matter to me how old it is, because I know it's just a glitch in eternity. It don't matter how old it is. It's just a glitch in eternity. You see, we could go on and on and on, and any and everything we could ever think about of how old it really and truly is just a glitch in eternity. So whenever you think about the gift of God, He tells us that this gift is eternal life and that it comes through Jesus Christ. It wasn't anything that we ever did to deserve it. It was never anything that we ever did to pay for it. And you know, a lot of times, I hear people from time to time say, you know, nobody ever give me nothing. You ever heard anybody say that? You know, I've had people say, oh, nobody ever give me nothing. I just want to stop right there and say, man, have you ever thought about what the Lord gave you? If you ever considered what the Lord gave you, you'd never make that kind of a statement, for He gave you life. He gave you every single thing you ever had. I'm going to show you in just a moment how I know that. There's no way in the world we could ever be without the gift of God. There's no way in the world we'll ever experience eternal life without the gift of God. You see, this giving that the Lord has, it's far bigger than we might have ever thought about. For it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And He must have believed that because He gave us such things of an enormous value. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? He gave us eternal life through Christ Jesus. There wasn't anything in the world we ever did. We didn't trade for it. We didn't trade for it. We could have never ever bought it. You see, He just gave it to us. And it's kind of like whenever I started the lesson with tonight. You don't want to ever forget someone that gives you something. I remember a long time ago when I came here in the beginning, there was a little old man that came out here to hear me preach, and he gave my son a silver dollar. His name was Shamless. His name was Buster Shamless, and he lived right here next door. And he gave my son that. And Matthew was about 4 years old. And to this day, he still knows who Buster Shamless is. He'll never forget him, for he looks in his treasure box and there's that silver dollar that he gave him. I want us to consider how it is that we should never ever forget the Lord Jesus. We should never ever forget what the Lord has done for us and what He's given for us. And I want you to think about the treasure box that you might have at home. If you can look in that treasure box and you can see the faces and the portraits that you might save of all of them that you love and appreciate, the Lord gave them to you. And the Lord gave you much more than that. Whenever you consider that the eternity that we're going to face someday is a gift from God, that's an awesome gift. In Romans chapter 12 and at verse 8, I wonder how many of us in this room understands the phrase Indian giver. Anybody understand that phrase? An Indian giver is that person that gives you something, and it's not too long until they decide that they gave you something they really wanted, and I want it back. And Josh, you know, if I gave you something, you know, I'd think about it, and I'd say, I'd give Josh something too good, and I'd go and say, give it back to me, Josh. I'd be an Indian giver. You see, that's not what the Lord's all about. He's not about Indian giving. He's not about the person who puts restrictions on a gift. You know, I've heard people say from time to time, well, I'm going to give my children this, but I'm going to fix it where they can't ever sell it. Now, I disagree with that totally. You know, I disagree with that totally. I've given my son the farm there. But I will tell you that if cancer strikes him or his wife or anybody that he chooses, or a son or a daughter or something, and he needs anything from that old place there, it all belongs to God anyway. Sell that thing, take the money, and do whatever it takes for your family. There's no such thing as restrictions on the face of this earth. But we brought nothing into this world, and guess what? We'll take nothing with us when we go. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. There are so many people still cleaving to the very end of whatever it is that they treasure in this life, hoping and praying somebody else will love and appreciate and treasure it just as much as they did. But have you ever considered some of the old things in life and how many times it may have passed hands and how many families it may have went through? I'm a collector, as many of you know, and I collect a lot of old things. And whenever you look at some of those old things, they talk to you, and they tell you a story behind them. And I will tell you that some of those things that I have probably have been through numerous families and different people along the way, and whenever I'm dead and gone, they'll be the same way then until they perish or rust or corrode and leave this old world. I want you to consider, whenever we talk about this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 12 and at verse 8, he said, "He that giveth, let him do so with simplicity." Do you know what that means? That means without restrictions. That means not an Indian giving process. That means that if I want to give you something, I give it to you free willingly, and I do so, and you are the steward of that. And whatever you choose to do with it, that's okay with me, for I give it to you willfully. That's what Jesus did when he died upon the cross, and he gave us opportunity for salvation. He said, "I give you a choice. I will not make you obey me, but I will give you a choice, and you may have eternal life in Christ Jesus if you choose what I have given you, the plan of salvation. If you choose the cleansing power of my blood, that's your choice, but I will not make you." Oftentimes I've said, as I've given people things, "This is yours to do with it as you please. I don't want it back. I never will want it back. And whatever you do with it is your business. If you decide you want to take it that immediately and carry it out and give it to someone else, so be it. Because I gave it to you willingly, with simplicity." And that's what that passage of Scripture is teaching us. Whenever we give something to somebody, we do so with simplicity. Now, it's always an important factor that we be good stewards of the things that the Lord hath given us along the way. He expects us to do good with it, to manage it properly. Yes, I believe that with all of my heart. But he does not expect us to hoard or to try to take it with us when we go, for we will not be able to do so. So it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And we do so with simplicity, because that's the way the Lord Jesus did it. Whenever he died upon the cross, he gave it to us with simplicity. In Deuteronomy 8 and 18, I got about two more and then we're going to close. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, the Bible said, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." I want you to understand that passage. It is he that giveth us power to get wealth. Without God, you would not have the strength or the ability to go to a job that God gave you to support your family with. Now, you can't get a number of people that I know to understand that. But you see, God gives us the power to be able to go to accumulate any form of wealth. He's responsible for that power. Without the Lord, we may not have the legs to work. Without the Lord, we may not have the arms to work. Without the Lord, our eyes may not see. Without the Lord, our ears could possibly not hear. Without the Lord, we would have no power to gain wealth in this life. You see, that gift is so far-fetched that a lot of people have never understood. Just without imagination, you can't understand what the Lord has really given you. Tomorrow morning, if you get up, the Lord gave you the ability to rise up and to see another day. The Lord then gave you the ability to get into your automobile and go to your workplace and work throughout the day to gain another day's wages so that you might continue on in this journey in life. But people have not realized that. There are a lot of people right now that have never understood the importance of the Lord with the upholding of our nation. This nation will never stand if the Lord is taken out completely. If the Lord is alienated completely, you can rest assured that the United States of America, the greatest country that's ever been on the face of this earth, will no longer stand. If they continue on to take the Lord out of everything that there is out there, the Lord will step off someday of the bond, so to speak, and the nation as we know it will no longer exist. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, and I'm not trying to tell you anything that's not right, but I'm telling you right now that the people that are running these things that are going on right now today, without the Lord in the forefront, one day this nation will cease to exist. Whenever you consider what the Bible says when he said, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God." Do you know what that means? Keeping him before you at all times and remembering what he's done for you in your life. And he said, "For it is he that giveth thee the power to gain wealth." Do you know why this country ever became the wealthiest nation on the face of the earth? It couldn't have been anything more than that of God blessing this nation. But people have forgotten that right now, as things have sort of turned down, and it continues to turn down, and unless we make some form of a change, it will continue the downward spiral. We will see that without the Lord, it will not stand. The Lord has to be within the nation. Amen. Consider Matthew chapter 6 and at verse 11. Someone says, now you don't need to mix politics and the Bible. I'm not doing that. I'm making a factual statement. The Lord intended to be in everything when it comes down to anything on the face of this earth. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He has to be first and foremost in everything that we do in our lives. We are even admonished in the Bible to pray for God's giving. Give us this day, He said, our daily bread. Did you ever consider that the Lord even told us? He said, you ask me for gifts. You tell me that you want these gifts. He said, we are even admonished to pray for God's giving. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord gives us the ability, just as He said, to gain any form of wealth. Whenever it comes down to the contentment that we must find in the Bible, He said, with food and shelter and clothing, let us therewith be content. There are a number of people that have never understood that as well, but I will tell you, in the very near future and in the future to come, that food and shelter and clothing will be a lot more of what we will find contentment in, for there will not be many of the other things that we've experienced in the past. Consider, we are even admonished to pray for God's giving. Give us this day our daily bread. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and at verse 10, as I conclude with you tonight, the gifts from God. You've gone through a number of things with me, and I've pointed out some things that I hope will encourage you and strengthen you. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. He's long-suffering, He said, not willing that any man should perish. The understanding that I have is the Lord is very patient with us, and He continues on the way of giving and giving and giving and giving. You know, I've heard it said concerning some people. Have you ever heard this said about someone? They're the most giving person. You know, they'll say that about someone. They'll say, that person is one of the most giving people. I tell you about Jesus. He's the most giving person. There's nothing in the world that compares to the giving of Jesus. Nothing in the world that compares to the gifts that Jesus has already given us. And if we continue on in this journey in life, there's nothing in the world that will compare to the things in the future that the Lord holds in store in the way of giving to those that are His children and those that will follow His teaching. Whenever you read 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, as we conclude tonight, he said, as every man hath received the gift, every man hath received the gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. Now you think about that for just a moment. I mean, what we just said there, I realize I didn't finish the end of that, but I will. But I want you to think about this right here. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for who? Just for a few? No. He gave His only begotten Son for all mankind. There wasn't a man, woman, or child on the face of the earth, and there will never be a man, woman, and child on the face of the earth, wherever they are, that God did not give His only begotten Son for. Now, whenever you think about giving, that's the ultimate. For you see, I realize I love all of you, but I could not give my son tonight for you. I could not give my son for my mother. My mother brought me into this world, and I love my mother with all my heart. But if it came down to making a choice between my mother and my son, I could not give my son for my mother. But God loved us enough that He could, and He did. And that giving process has not stopped. For the Lord Jesus continued on with that giving process when He was given openly and willingly upon that cross. The Lord did not stop. He continues giving on a daily basis, and He will give and give and give, and there's no comparison to the things that we'll receive. For every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, he said. Even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Doesn't it make a lot of sense? More blessed to give than it is to receive. We could never outgive God. In a million years, we could never outgive God. And we'll never be able to understand what we ever did when we did nothing to receive all of the gifts that have been given us. You know, it's unimaginable to think about what the Lord has done for us and the gifts that we receive on a daily basis. And did you know that there's a lot of people that they'll go through an entire day and never bow their heads and say, "Thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you've given me." So I want tonight to challenge all of you, whenever you leave here tonight, as the end of our gospel meeting has come to a close, and this gospel meeting is over here at Menlo, I want you to go forth tonight, and I want you to start out, and I want you to say thank you on your way home to God. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me, and thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you give me. For you give me a lot more than I ever realized that you do. Whenever you have these little old children that the Lord gave you to watch after and to nurture and to admonish, boy, He's given you an unbelievable gift. Whenever He's given you the ability to get out and work and make a living, man, He's given you an unbelievable gift. You know, man just can't do that for you. It takes the Lord to do those things for you. He gives us life and the very being that we have. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you could have a lot more gifts if you'll start out tonight and become a Christian. The Bible teaches us we must establish our faith by the hearing of the gospel preached. He tells us we must believe with all of our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. We must be willing to repent of our sins, to confess Him with our mouth. Very simple and easy thing to do. I want to know Jesus. I want you to know I know Jesus. And in order for Jesus to be able to confess us before His Father in heaven, according to Matthew 10 and verse 32, we're going to have to be able to confess Jesus here on earth before mankind. And then we're going to have to be willing to be buried in baptism for the remission of our sins, raised to walk in newness of life. And then if sin comes into our life and it separates us from God, and it will, there's the precious blood of Jesus as He gave it willingly upon the cross. And what does that blood do but cleanse us from all sin? If we repent of those sins, we ask God to forgive us of those sins, have those whose prayers around us, whose not their prayers are not hindered because of sin in their lives, hopefully. We ask them to pray with us and for us, and in so, whenever we do that, the precious blood will do its job. If you're here tonight and you're subject to the invitation of the gospel, won't you come right now while Ron leads us in our invitation song?
Have my affections been nailed to the cross?